and his problem with anti-Semitism, or his problem of knowing that it doesn't matter how many times he says he's not anti-Semitic, his actions actually say the opposite, and how he is totally impossible for him to act to actually show that he is not anti-Semitic. In a way, he's trapped by the system. It's not him, it's the system. He's not the only one, it's just that he happens to be a high-profile figure. But he's totally trapped by the narrative in which he's sort of, you know, caught in. And you have to know his history of where he comes from. You go right back to the philosophy that drives him and the others who are surrounding him. They are duty-bound. They cannot go against their philosophy, their core beliefs. So he is powerless to do anything about anti-Semitism. And you think, okay, so what is the backstory to this? Because there is a backstory. It's one of the many, many backstories, many, many stories that are out there. And I'm just going to show you a few of them. Okay, this is just in local recent papers. What a silly snowflake. There's a 1916 mural of a degree being conferred on an unknown soldier in, I think it's in Oxford University, and they're all men. And the lady who is now the leader of the student union says that she's going to paint over it because there's no women in it, even though there weren't any women, in that original picture. But because, this is the male-dominated patriarchy and there's no women, this is the head of the student union. She's going to paint over this mural that's been up there for years. I don't know, is it the University of Scotland? Well, I haven't read the small print. I can't read small print. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, the Scottish, Southampton. All right. Anyway, I'm sure they're all as bad as each other. Frozen star attacks Snow White's prince because the prince didn't get consent from Sleeping Beauty before he kissed her. So there's an uproar about it. This is not a joke. This is a real uproar about fairy tales. We have to reevaluate them and see whether consent has been given on any of the stories out there. We probably heard about this recently. Kleenex. Ditch their sexist man size. You can't use the word man size. There's got to be, got to be called extra large. Extra large. Men need extra large tissues because they cry so much. BBC's straight ally now. Yeah. So the BBC are reclassifying their staff so that those normal, let's say heterosexual staff who are gay friendly have to show it by wearing a badge to make their gay staff comfortable. The whole thing is towards, I can't remember, was it 0.17% of society is transsexual, and this is the BBC decided that is the most important thing over everything. Absolute lunatic. I've probably got a lot more, but that sort of what's going on? What's it all about? So I'm not going to speak for long because you have to get the book, and some of you have read it, the book anyway. But just as a sort of reminder, it is historical, and there's both a historical political reason, but there's also a spiritual reason, and it all goes back to near the beginning of the 20th century. To cut a long story short. It comes out of Marxism, which is this failed philosophy that's never worked in any country. Any country that's become Marxist has either ended up with megalomaniac dictators or have just collapsed, because it's unworkable. And Marxism does not work. It's proven to not work. So what they have done historically is redefine Marxism to take it away from an economic thing but into a social thing. So that normally take me half an hour to get to that point. So that's taking like 2 minutes. If you think about Marxism and you think about the motifs in Marxism, it's all about liberation. is about the masses rising up, and you know, sort of that there's these people that are lording it over the others, and those at the bottom have to rise up, and there has to be a revolution, and all these sort of trigger words, you know, revolution, liberation. We start to see these words in society from the 1960s onwards. You can even think of a lot of organisations that suddenly appeared, and one that we would, you know, obviously remember, 1967, was the Palestine Liberation Organisation. Liberation, the Animal Liberation Front, Women's Lib. You know, these words, by the word liberation, and by looking at their badges, which are very, very Marxist, with the clenched fist. And you've probably seen that from my cover, where you've got the lion, but it's also a clenched fist. And it's all coming out of Marxism. That's what drives the whole thing. And all they've done is redefined the battle. So Marxism, as it was before, the economic Marxism, is all to do with the workers and those who's, you know, who lord it over them, the bosses. You know, the bosses are the evil ones, and the workers need to be liberated. Because that never worked, they redefine it by saying, let's look at society in general, look at our culture, and look at groups that seem to be oppressed by others, you know, who are like the ruling party. So all they've done is they've decided that the biggest instigators, the biggest enemies of the people, are those that come from a Judeo-Christian background, particularly male, heterosexual, middle-aged, you know, like most people I'm seeing here. So you are all the evil ones, and you are eternally to be, you can never escape from that. You know, it's because when they reassess our history and say, you know, look at, you know, the slave trade, look at all the times people have been oppressed. It's always comes out of a Christian worldview, and it's always men that have done it. So if you're a Christian man, there's absolutely no way that you can be, you know, okay in their eyes. So, you know, if you're a gay black Muslim, then you're really got it made, basically. You're in three different groups who are classified as victim groups. Now, the problem with this victim group thing is that, you know, they're all artificial, and the whole purpose of these victim groups, and it's never ending. If something happens in the news, it can be manipulated to actually divide people, it will become a victim group. And one big example was the Grenfell disaster. There's been many, many disasters, but for some reason that one has been picked on by those who are manipulating events. And no one is allowed to say anything against the people from Grenfell. It's just become a victim group. Obviously, you've got the gay victim group, you've got the Muslim, you've got the environment. You know, it just goes on and on and on. There's only two groups that don't have, are not a victim group. And can we guess who those two groups are? Jews and Christians. You cannot, it's just not part of the, it's not part of the mentality. Because we are seen as the enemy. If you're a Jew, if you're a Christian, and if you're both, then there's no help. There's no way out. Right? That's how the situation has evolved, let's say. And there is a spiritual element to it. So, you know, we've seen politically how it's done. And unfortunately, most of the instigators of this whole system have been Jewish. You know, I could give you a whole list of names, and everyone is a Jew. Virtually even up to modern times. So you can understand why the far right see it as a Jewish conspiracy. You can almost understand their mindset. You know, if they know their history, this whole thing is called cultural Marxism. If you go to a cultural Marxism website, one that's speaking against it, it will tend to be from the far right, and it will tend to be totally blatantly anti-Semitic, because they say the whole thing that I'm telling you now, which is a true assessment, they say it's a Jewish conspiracy. So we have very unsavory bedfellows, but it doesn't make it any less true. And that is the problem. If we speak up and talk about these things, they'll call you a far-right fascist, you know, because the far-right fascists are actually agreeing with you about what's going on. except in their case, they say it was a Jewish conspiracy, which we know it isn't. So this is the problem. We are called conspiracy theorists or, you know, conspiracy people by bringing this up. But the real conspiracy are those who are trying to, you know, who are calling us conspiracy people. You know, that's the real conspiracy, is that the three areas of our society who are propagating this whole victim group mentality, political correctness, are the media, the universities, and the film industry, which are the three main areas where we get our information. And when you look at the newspapers, and the only one that seems to be holding out at the moment is the Daily Mail, but eventually money situations will probably force them to compromise and be like the rest. So you can't get any truth really through the mainstream media. Hello, do you want to say something? No. I thought you had an objection there. You wanted to... oh, okay. Right. Off you go. But everything I'm saying is absolutely true. It is verifiable history that I'm telling you, with real people that you can see on YouTube clips, you can read books that they've written, you can see historical events that will, you know, give a lot of ground to what I'm saying. So this is the situation. And when I talk about the spiritual background there, and we've talked about this before in a few, you know, places I've talked to, it goes right back to the Alice Bailey thing. Alice Bailey gave a 10-point system to bring down Western civilization and basically to tear our culture away from its Christian roots. And it was concentrating on basically mainly tearing the family apart, is bringing anything in which is, you know, to do with the gay agenda, to do with abortion, euthanasia, you know, anything that would be anti-family, they would be pushing. And Alice Bailey and her spiritual theosophists back in the 1920s were praying for this. And for all we know, they've been praying for it ever since. And if you look at her 10-point plan, every one of those points has happened in our society gradually. It's all been gradual, but it's here now. And you really need to have eyes to see and ears to hear, because the main people, the people out there who just sit there and read their paper every morning and watch breakfast TV, they haven't got a clue. You know, they just see what's going on, they shrug their shoulders and say, well, the world's changing, you know, isn't it awful, you know? But they don't realise that it's getting worse and worse. And as things, I think, develop through this conference, and we're going to go into different areas in different ways, we get to realise that this is a real, it's more than just a challenge to the Christian faith, but it's leading to persecution. It's already there, but it's going to get worse. And the only way, well, there's many ways to fight it, but one way is education, is to know what's going on and how we can deal with it. And obviously the other way is spiritual warfare, is to prayer, and just getting the message out there. So that's really the purpose of this conference, is for you to realise and for you to be able to tell others that what they're seeing in their newspapers every day is not something random. It's not just, you know, oh, it's just political correctness. It doesn't affect me, but it will affect everyone, especially if you're Christian. There are going to be so many restrictions in what you can say, what you can do, you know, and it's coming in just so gradually. And we need to be aware of it before it hits us. So education is what we need, really, to fight this. And, you know, as I was... I come up with this phrase, I only got it in a piece of paper, I only thought about it the other day, and it's basically, I think I might have said this before, people don't realise this, but we are in the middle of a dystopian nightmare playing out like an episode of Monty Python. Because those of you like me brought up on Monty Python, which is like absurd comedy, we're actually seeing absurd comedy that is serious. It's not funny, but it is funny. If you saw it in a drama, it's funny, but it's actually happening. And, you know, you can't say anything about it. You can't sort of, you know, particularly the transsexual thing, you know, there's just so many aspects of it. It's just so ridiculous. But you can't even say anything. You know, comedians, they can't joke about it anymore. You know, it's just things you can't do. You can say what you like about a Jew or a Christian, but no one else, you know. So, and there's all these trigger words, and I sort of wrote a few down. When you see these words, you realize that it's all part of this system that is really, you know, starting to restrict us. Words like entitlement, you know, you are entitled, choice, when you think about choice, you can choose your sex, you can choose whether your unborn baby lives or dies, you know, choice, it's another one that comes in. Offense, you know, how everyone is offended these days, you know. Equality, obvious one. Tolerance, and, you know, that's something that Christians are not, but is that a bad thing? Respect, people demand respect, though, you know, they don't deserve respect, but they demand it. Empowerment, oppression, identity. And these are basically, these are fake words, and the point being, when I mean fake, you know, well, because we've got fake news, but the whole thing is fake. The whole thing is fake. It's making those who are in these victim groups think that they are special, but they're not. They've been manipulated. You know, the people who are doing manipulation, they're not doing it because they think these groups are special. They're doing it to produce real conflict in society. That's the only purpose. Is by making these groups feel special, it makes everyone else feel worthless, and that's the tactic of the enemy. But it's happening, and it's a real thing. And I think a few of our talks over the next few days, we'll sort of concentrate our minds on it, and hopefully we'll get biblical responses, and you'll have lots of chances to, you know, explore it further. I'm going to do a workshop, I think, tomorrow afternoon. Any of you just want to go a bit further into the stuff that I'm talking about, I can show you a lot more clippings, and we can have a sort of a Q&A. So that's what I'll do in my workshop, I think it's tomorrow afternoon. So I think that's all I'm going to say about the matter now. Was there any other notices? Nothing you want to say about tomorrow? Or no? I suppose you're going to introduce what we're doing now. Are you ready? Okay.